Turn in your Bibles to Luke in the 18th chapter, if you would, please. Because this parable truly, truly is being used by the Lord to get into our hearts and into our lives for a very real reason. And we're going to begin here, as it says, in verse 9. And we're going to read the entire parable, and then we're going to go back and we're going to teach through it. It's just a couple verses here, but it's a very powerful parable, and it's kind of funny because this is a simile, okay? This is a metaphor. This is a and it's so funny because it is a like this. It is a for that type of story, and I want us to understand what Jesus is doing here. So let's begin with the Word of God, knowing that as Christ spoke to us, God Himself was preaching. And He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I have to honestly say, the little cartoon thingy that we just showed there, that is a very good interpretation of the parable. Does it end there? Absolutely not. That's just a beginning place. Because you see, Jesus was using something very commonplace in their day to teach them a very real reality about their own lives and about who we are in the sight of God and in the sight of others. Because Jesus was telling them that here's these two people, now they're in church, okay? They're at the temple, they're praying in front of God. And if this is the language that is used by a righteous person to talk to God, what kind of language do you think they use talking towards men? You see, Jesus knows that when we stand before God, we're on our best behavior. How many of you go into your prayer closet with an attitude of telling God what He's going to do? We generally go into our prayer closet with an attitude of gratitude or an attitude of need, right? We're either thankful or we have a need. And we are on our best behavior when we're talking to Him. We don't walk in before God and say, hey, big dude, how's it going? We generally humble ourselves. We generally bring down our vocabulary to a place where we're showing respect. Okay? Do we do that in our world? You see, Jesus here was telling us, if you're willing to go before your Father and speak such things as these, how many of you are speaking even worse things in front of man, and yet you claim to be a righteous person? We have to understand that the Lord Jesus here was showing us that here's this tax collector who out in the world, he is a flamboyant person. He has to stand there. He demands money. You've got to pay him. If you don't pay him, what happens to you? You go to jail. Same thing that happens today, okay? Same thing that happens today. And if you think about it, if you want to get yourself in some really good trouble, just try not to pay your taxes for a couple years and see how they treat you, okay? You may get away with it for a while. Ask Willie Nelson. He did. But ultimately, they're going to come after you. So out in the world, this tax collector was not looked at as a good person. But in front of God, what was he? He was a righteous man. You see, sometimes in the world, we have to remember we have jobs that we have to do. this tax collector was doing his job. Now, does this scripture say that this tax collector was a swindler? No, it doesn't. We have no idea. That's an assumption. How many of us make assumptions every day? We see somebody and they look a little different, and all of a sudden they're weird. They're strange. You know, I mean, we teach our children, and this is something that, you know, I had to do, we all had to do. You know, strangers, watch for strangers. And our kids are looking for weird people with things sticking out of their heads. And, you know, they're looking for strangers. And you wonder why your kids just run up to complete people they don't know. Well, they're not a stranger. They didn't look weird. We need to understand that this man, we have no idea what he was like. But a stigma was placed on him because of the job he had, because of the position that he held. And Jesus is showing us here, it doesn't matter what your position is. If you're a Pharisee, if you are a religious person, you should act like a religious person all the time. If you're a tax collector, you need to be a tax collector who is a righteous person, okay? Let your actions meet your character. They need to be one and the same. You can't be a Christian and a pagan at the same time, okay? You cannot love God and mammon at the same time. Jesus is using the very reality of Scripture here that we cannot be a duplistic person, because righteous people don't act unrighteously. Now, was the Pharisee righteous here? Was he acting like a righteous person? So what do you think people thought of him as he was about his temple duties and what have you? Was he righteous in any of that? I would have to say no. If he's acting like this before God in his prayer and in temple, no. And you see, that was the problem that Jesus had to face during his time. The people of the temple, the religious people, weren't religious at all. They used religion as a way of getting things their way. And Jesus is teaching us here that we should never use religion as a way of getting what we want. Because now we're manipulating the Word of God to our advantage, to put people down and raise ourselves up. And that's exactly what this Pharisee was doing. One of the things that I want you to understand is Jesus many times, and I pulled this out of my Bible study program, Jesus many times spoke about being humble. And when I say Jesus, I'm talking about the Word of God. Jesus himself spoke of it because he tells us that, you know, we're to come to the kingdom as children. We're to humble ourselves like little children, right? And I think it's funny because little children are accepting of everybody and anything. You know, it's one of parents' major dreads. How about it, Miss Shannon? Your kids, you know, they'll run up to strangers and you're kind of like, I don't know those people. And you take a little bit of, you know, what are they going to do to my kids? You know what I mean? We need to protect them. Well, God wants to protect us too, but he wants us to be right with him and right in him. And in order to do that, we need to understand that God wants us to be children of Christ all the time. We need to be open and willing, and I'm going to tell you right now, I hate to say this, but how many times do children's hearts get broken by adults? Okay? If you're in Christ and you are truly a child of God, the world is going to break your heart left and right. Amen? We just need to take that for what it is, because kids get their heart broken all the time. And God knows that, but we have a Father who gives good gifts. Amen? And though this world may break our hearts, God will never break our hearts, because God's ultimate promise comes true to every believer, and that is eternity with him forever. And boy, I cannot wait for that day, because there will never be another broken heart. Amen? Amen. And we need to understand that those are the type of people that we need to be. The tax collector was doing his job. He's collecting taxes. you know, I go to the blood bank and get my blood every, you know, and I have no idea who is going to stick me. In fact, one time Ruth Ann stuck me. It was only one time. But she did a good job, and I was really amazed because I don't know that she'd ever stuck anybody before, and I couldn't believe they actually let her do it. Of course, I'm her pastor, so I was playing sucker, but she did a good job. But when I go there, I have no idea what kind of job is going to be done because I've had some really bad sticks. You ever have a bad stick? Oh, they hurt. Oh, my goodness, about throws you out of the chair. And then you have those other ones where they say, now this is going to hurt. I didn't feel a thing. Because that person knows their job. They know what to do. And they're being that. And we need to be that. And I'm going to tell you right now, every now and then you're going to get a bad stick. Amen? It's just the way life's going to be. But what are we going to be in it? Are we going to be gracious? Okay? How many of us need grace every day? How many of us, knowing that we need grace for ourselves, also understand that in order to receive it, we need to give it first? You know, we pray that every week, and it's so funny because we don't look at it this way, but we pray it every week. Every Sunday we pray that because we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? You are asking for grace. And if we are to receive grace, we need to give grace. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here, okay? When we think about who we are and who we're not and how we have to get through this life, one of the things that I need to ask you is, are you willing to be vulnerable? The tax collector, how did he pray? Where did he pray? Beg pardon, Miss Dottie? He prayed from the heart. He also prayed in a little bit more private place, didn't he? He didn't pray where everybody could see him or hear him. He kind of went to the back, so he was out of the way. How many times in life do you see the people who want to take front stage? Look at the Pharisee. Where did he pray? Right there in front of everybody, so everybody could see him and everybody could hear him. And I think it's amazing because all these things speak of a humility. They speak of a humbling. They speak of a man or a woman who's willing to see their true position in Christ Jesus. If you would, I have a couple of scriptures that I just want you to look at with me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4. From the fourth chapter, I want to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read through to verse 11, I believe. It says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not hate, have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives us greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and wail." Isn't that a wonderful thing for the Scripture to tell you? Look at what it says there. Be miserable and mourn and wail. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. Okay? I want you to think about that. God here is telling us that it's better for us to mourn and wail because God will turn our laughter to mourning. If we're not right with Him, is that truth? You better believe it. You know, I want you to think about it because that's talking about end time. That is talking about end time. That is talking about those people who are out there laughing now, having a good time, kicking their heels up and hurting people. Where are they going to be in the end? We need to humble ourselves here now because if we humble ourselves now, God will raise us up in the end. And that doesn't mean we need to be a stomping ground or a stomping board or a doormat, as I've heard in my lifetime, okay? We're not told that as Christians we have to allow people to walk all over us. That's not the truth. But what God is saying there is we need to humble ourselves and remember that we're no better than anybody else. The Scripture tells us that we are to think of ourselves with sober judgment, okay? Remembering, that's why I always say, you know, to all you folks, I'm Pastor Rich. But when I look in the mirror, I see Richie Dubs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, who does not deserve to be where he is, who needs the help and provision, strength and power of the Lord every moment of every day. Because I know the hole I crawled out of. And I'm talking Glen Rock. If you've ever been to Glen Rock, you know what I mean. It's a hole. It's surrounded on seven sides with mountains. Bobby knows what I'm talking about. He's been down in that hole. It's one of those places where you grow up. It's nice. When you get to be an adult, you say, that was cool, but I'm leaving. But it's where I grew up. Where I became the man that I am. No, it's where I became the man that God took and turned into the man that I am. And I don't want to go back there. And none of us should. We need to move forward in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that there's a reason we quarrel. There's a reason that we're constantly trying to get something more because we're not satisfied with where we are. Are we satisfied with what God has given us? Do we see it for the blessing that it is? And do we take it to ourselves and say, thank you, Lord? And boy, I'm preaching to the choir here because I'm talking to me. Okay? There are so many times in life that we want the more and we want to put on pretenses. Oh, I love people that put on pretenses. Okay? And ladies, I'm talking to all of you. How many, and I don't mean this in a bad way, how many of you take a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and 15 minutes to put your face on in the morning? Talk about pretenses. Okay? I have to laugh, all right? Because my wife, and I love her, you all know that, she takes about 30 seconds. And out the door. I love it. That's the way God brought her in. That's the way He's going to take her out. And I love it. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't wear makeup. There's no law against it. All right? God doesn't say, thou shalt not wear makeup. Thou shalt not take an hour to make yourself look good. In fact, for some of us, I'm pretty sure all of us are grateful you do. Well, I'm going to get in trouble when I leave here. You guys all know that, right? But there are some of us guys that need to take that hour and put ourselves together. Let's all be honest, all right? I think it's funny because it's one of the things we pick on guys for. What are you taking 20 minutes in the bathroom for, you know? Don't get any better looking. You can pile it however you want. It still comes out looking the same. That's jokes that we say about each other. But we put on these pretenses. God sees right through them. And I hate to tell you this, but so does the world. The world sees through them quicker than we do. Because we're willing to accept them in our innocence. But the world looks at us and says, you say you're all that, but you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing the next thing. And that's where we need to be able to come in humility and say, yes, I am. I'm a child of God. I'm not perfect. I'm saved. Do you know what that means? Well, doesn't that mean that you look at yourself as better than the rest of us? No. No. I'm not any better. In fact, I'm right where you are. I just found the answer that gives me the hope of glory, and that is Jesus Christ. And I'm trying harder every day to become the person that God wants me to become, because I know I've got all this baggage that I've got to get off of me. And I need to, and we need to ask sinners for forgiveness. I hate to tell you that. We need to ask sinners for forgiveness. When we screw up in front of them, what's one of the first things that we should be doing? We need to be asking them to forgive us and confess our sins to them. Now, not all of them, just the one that you did in front of them. All right? If we confessed all of them, you know, they're not a pastor. Well, I wouldn't confess them to a pastor either. You all know that. We ain't Catholic. We have one Father that we need to pray to, right? We have one Lord that we need to confess to, right? But when you mess up in front of somebody, be willing to admit it. Be willing to humble yourself. And when you do, watch what God does in your life and in the life of your hearers. Because that's how we bring people to salvation. You know, a lot of times the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't spelling out the fact that Jesus died for us and rose on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Okay? A lot of times the gospel of Jesus Christ starts with, forgive me, I'm a mess. Speaking that to somebody who doesn't even know the Lord and getting them to understand that the same forgiveness you need is the forgiveness they need. Because who better to ask forgiveness than people who already think they don't need it? Because when we think about the Pharisee, do you think he looked at himself as being a person in need of forgiveness? He is the world. Think about it. What does our world say? We're all good people. Isn't that what our world says? We're all good people. And when something bad happens, they throw their hands up and say, well, we just don't understand. They were such a good person. No, we know the answer. No one is good. No, not one. For no one seeketh God. Amen? The only reason we seek God is because God sought us and placed His love in our hearts, that we would turn to Him and receive from Him the grace and glory that is His Holy Spirit living in us, which has transformed us and is yet transforming us. Just like this parable is meant to transform us. It is to take us out of the church and into our lives to see that if we're going to talk like this in front of God, because we all understand, right? God knows everything. How many of us act like that all the days of our lives, every minute of every day? I think it's funny because I know people, and I'm going to say this personally, I know people and I love them. They come to church and every Sunday they're at church and they are, you'd think they're all that. But if you went to their house on Tuesday evening, you would think, who's that guy? Does he have a twin brother? Because that's not the guy I see in church on Sunday. And we need to remember, God sees that duplicity, and so does the world. So we need to walk aright. We need to get ourselves right, not only with God, but also with other men in our world. We sang the song today, okay? And I don't know whether Miss Sally realizes it, but the very first song that we sang says that we fail not man nor thee. Do you understand the theological connection there? How is it that we fail man? We fail man by not truly being Christ to the world. Jesus came to be a servant. Jesus humbled himself, as we have here in the scriptures. Jesus humbled himself in John 13. He humbled himself and became as a servant and wrapped a towel around his waist and washed his disciples' feet. This is God himself becoming a servant for us. And then he says after the meal, after he's done washing all their feet, that no messenger is greater than is the one who sent him. No servant is greater than his master. So do likewise, because Jesus is our master. Amen? So if he has done this thing, so too must we do this thing. And that is to humble ourselves and come low. The title of my sermon today was "The Highway Means Bending Low." And the highway of God's life means we need to bend low. Because as we bend low, as we humble ourselves, our spirit, our character, our personality, God raises us up. And people will look up to you. You know, it's one of the reasons, and I kind of hate it, and I tell you all this a lot of times, don't put me on a pedestal, because many of you say, "Oh man, but Pastor, you're..." No, I ain't all that. I am not all that. Believe me, you don't live with me. Talk to Miss Lynn. Okay? Theologically, I have been trained. And yes, I have a relationship with the Lord that's pretty tight, because it needs to be. If I'm going to lead a church, my relationship has to be so close that it's all but on the cutting edge. And I'll guarantee you, there are sometimes God cuts me. You all been with me long enough to know he broke my legs. All right? Not because it was a bad thing, but because it was a good thing. I needed to be made right. He needed to get my attention. And it's funny because, man, when you give yourself to the Lord, he takes you at that word. And he wants to hold you to that fire because it's a good fire. It's a fire that purges us. It's a fire that refines us. It's not a fire that destroys us. Remember, there's two kinds of fire in heaven and hell. Okay? And I hate to tell you all this, but heaven and hell are going to be in one place at one time because that's going to be the lake of fire. Because the lake of fire is going to exist in the heavenly realm. So there's going to be two types of fire in heaven. What are the two types of fire? Refining fire that purges us, and the fires of damnation in hell, which destroy for all eternity. The choice is, which fire do you want to be found in? The one brings us unto life. The other takes us unto death. When we think about where we are and what Jesus asked, there are so many scriptures here. In Proverbs, it says, "He mocks proud mockers and gives grace to the humble." In Proverbs 6 and 3, he says, "Go and humble yourself. Press your plea." I think that's so amazing because that's talking about God answering us. If we humble ourselves and we take our plea before the Lord, do you think he's going to hear us? More so than if we exalt ourselves and think of ourselves more. But I deserve this. What do we deserve, people? Death. We deserve damnation. We deserve separation because that's what we've done, is separated ourselves. But in the Word, God says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another." Ooh. And lifting each other up. Isn't that amazing? If you want to lift something up, what's the first thing you have to do to lift something up? You got to get down to get a hold of it. Ant. Like that word? Ant. Okay? I think it's one of the most amazing things. You want to lift something up, you got to get down. Otherwise, you're going to hurt your back, ain't you? You just reach over and try and yank that thing up, you're going to put a hurting on yourself. How many of us in life, that's what we're doing? We don't want to bend down. We're just reaching over, grab a hold of this thing. We think we're going to lift it up. No, you got to get under it. Whoa, whoa, there's a concept. Because we have to come under the Word of God. We have to come under submission to God. We have to come under the conditions of God. And as we do, God lifts us up. So today, I want you to think about this parable in a different way. It's not just about how you pray, but it's about how you live. It's about who you are and how other people perceive you. I'm going to tell you right now, greater respect is given to no man than a man who walks humbly and quietly before the Lord. I think it's most amazing. I had a gentleman that I love dearly. This is my last story, and then I'm going to quit. Had a gentleman I loved dearly. This guy walked with the Lord, and he was at St. Peter's Church. And it was so funny because I had two brothers. One brother was constantly, it's just so funny. I love them both, but their personalities were so dynamically different. The one guy was constantly, I'm all that, I'm all that. And it wasn't that he was being arrogant, that was just who he was, okay? But when he would fall, when he would stumble and screw up, man, he came down with a crash. And then there was this other brother. You never heard him speak. He was an elder in the church. You never heard him speak. And it was so amazing because when we would have an elders meeting or a consistory, that's what we used to call them, consistories, okay? And when we would have it, he wouldn't say anything. 3, 4, 5 months, he wouldn't say anything. And then finally one day he would have enough and he'd have to talk. And this is how he would talk. Well, and everybody get quiet. Kind of like this. You see, I think, and the whole, you were hanging on every word, I swear he took lessons from who was the guy that played Captain Kirk on Star Trek? Huh? No, the guy that played Captain Kirk. Whatever. Anyhow, but it was just so funny because everybody would hang on every word until they came out of his mouth. But when he was done talking, wisdom in the ages was spoken. But it was so because he didn't speak fast, he spoke slow, and he chose his words very well. And he didn't have to speak 100 words to say 10. And it was so amazing because you walked away having known you were in the presence of wisdom. That God was really speaking through. There was good counsel. No, there was God counsel because he had taken himself out of the way, the second O, and God was speaking through this man. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be that person who is a man of few words or a woman of few words that when we do speak, they have weight because our actions and our words line up. Be Christ. You call yourself Christian. What does Christian mean? Christ-like one, or little Christ. Be Christ. Be a servant. Be humble. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for the love and life that you give each and every one of us. Because, Lord, as we give ourselves to you, so too then you can change our hearts and bring us to the place of knowing and understanding just who we are and how we're to be. Lord, this parable teaches us that walking humbly is a good thing, and that, Lord, you already know who we are, so we don't need to be flamboyant and be of speakers of many words. We can say few words, just say them in truth and in love. And Lord, that comes shining through. So, Father, this day, as we go out, I pray that you would use each and every one of us as a humble servant, willing to give of ourselves where we need to give, when we need to give, and realizing that the world's watching. and for good reason, because they need to see you. So, Lord, use us. Use us for your glory. Use us to bring others to the saving grace of thy great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.